We're doing our Amp Up series. And last week we began to talk about habits that help us amp up. That in this summer that got you, when everybody goes into vacation mode, everybody goes into relax mode. How many of you know that that's good, by the way? Yeah? Yes, pastor says it's good. We've got a lot of families right now that are out on vacation, and that's awesome. That's a wonderful thing that God desires for us to rest and relax and to enjoy our families and to enjoy our time off. But there is also a desire for God that through that rest that we're able to ramp up our spiritual life. Amen? That we're able to walk closer with Him, that we're able to hear Him better, that we are able to grow through the rest. Amen? How many of you know if you want a kid to grow, rest is important? You know, I'll embarrass him right now. You know, Simon used to be short, right? And then one day he went to bed, and he came out the next day, and he was not short. He was taller than me, and I instantly overnight became the shortest guy in the house. It's how it seemed like in my head, right? But it's how many of you know it's important for us. In order for us to grow, we have to rest as well. We have to rest in the Word. We have to rest in His presence. We have to rest in the Holy Spirit. So part of what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking about the good habits that we can have as sons and daughters that help us grow the way that God desires us to grow. Last week, we discussed the importance of having a relationship with the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Amen? And we talked about the importance of having a relationship with the Word. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the effect of the Word, the power of the Word. Somebody say power and say it. Hold up. Say it like you mean it. Amen? Say power. Amen? Okay. So let's look in our scripture real quick. And it says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you know God desires to do a good work in your life? God desires to do a good work through your life. He wants His goodness to get in you so He can get His goodness through you to the world that He loves. Amen? You know, one of the things when we came here and we began, you know, having the privilege of working for Pastor Greg for almost 5 years, is he placed such an importance and showed me the importance and trained me in the importance of knowing the Word. How many of you know that if you know that man knows the Word. He knows Scripture. I mean, he doesn't just talk about it, he breathes it. He lives it because he's dedicated his life to it. And because he's dedicated his life to the Word, he's applied his life to the Word. Didn't apply the Word to his life. He applied his life to the Word. And because he did that, he walks in a level of authority and power that most don't walk in. You guys okay with this? Amen? It's not because Greg Moore is special, per se. It's because Greg Moore was obedient to the knowing and understanding of the Word. Amen? So this is part of us growing. So he really stressed the importance. He said, James, more importantly, instead of just knowing the Scriptures, you have to understand the power of the Scripture, because Scripture is not a dead word. It's alive. It's the DNA of the Father. It's His character. It's the expression of His heart. It's not just words on a page. If nothing else, it's God pouring himself out to us in a love letter of saying, this is who I am, and this is what I'm like, and this is what I desire to do for you. Isn't that awesome? So that's why the importance. We have to understand that there is power in the Word. I said earlier that God spoke and His Word went into motion. God in the beginning of Genesis said what? Let there be, right? And there was light. How many of you know, ever since He said, let there be light, the sun's come up every single day? He spoke, He meant what He said, and His Word hasn't stopped producing from that day. So that tells me when God speaks over our life, whatever He speaks will not stop carrying forward. How many of you have ever had a promise from God? Amen? Anybody? Nobody's had a promise from God. Just wave at me, yeah? I mean, you know, if God has spoken something to you, that word carries forward to the completion of its intention. He will see through the mission. Amen? You guys good today? All right, let's jump in a little bit and talk about the power of the word. This scripture we just read was in Timothy chapter 3. And, you know, when Timothy, who was a young pastor at the time, felt attacked on every side by these challenging situations that he was facing in the city of Ephesus, as many of you know, we've talked about that, how Timothy, he was like the chosen one. He was the golden boy, that he came along with Paul and he was placed over the church in Ephesus. And the church in Ephesus at the time was one of the largest churches in the ancient world. And all of a sudden he shows up, and as soon as Timothy steps into the pulpit, he immediately begins to get backlash. He steps into it, and all of a sudden a church split begins to happen. He steps into it, and all of a sudden people start leaving the church for fear of their life, because the Roman Empire began to ramp up their persecution of Christians. And all of a sudden you had this young man, Timothy, who found himself in a position of leading. He found himself doing what God called him to do, and there he was, and all of a sudden he began to be attacked on every side. How many of you have ever felt like that? You're just doing what God told you to do, and then all of a sudden it feels like all the attacks come from every side. Amen? As a matter of fact, how many of you have ever stepped out to obey what God's called you to do, and then as you step out, things get hard, and you start going, oh, wait a minute, maybe God didn't call me to do this. Or maybe God called you to do it, and the enemy just decided, hey, I don't like this. And he wanted to stop it before it started. Amen? That's why Timothy all of a sudden found himself in a position where he was being attacked. And he writes to Paul, and he's expecting advice from Paul. And he received a letter that contains these words that came back to him. And Paul wrote back to Timothy and said this. I'm going to paraphrase in Pastor James, not King James, okay? He said, Timothy, I know you're struggling. I know you're suffering, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How many of you, that seems like a non-answer to you? That's great, Paul. What do I do? How do I fix it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that's a powerful statement, because if you notice the word inspiration in this verse, and this is a very powerful word that Paul was speaking to him, if you really understand what that word means and what Paul was communicating. How many of you know God didn't use words by accident? Amen? See, we are a culture, we choose words by accident. We're very haphazard with our speech, are we not? That's actually more of a modern invention. People used to be far more intentional about what they said. Maybe you know God, the Holy Spirit was very intentional about what he said, right? How many of you love ice cream, right? How many of you love your mom? How many of you love your dad? How many of you love your wife or your husband, right? How many of you love your dog? Do you love your dog the same way you love your spouse? You better not, right? Do you see how we are with language? We just, you know, oh man, I love that movie. Oh, I love ice cream. But when we look in Scripture, words were always chosen with intent. They were always chosen with purpose. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak haphazardly. Amen? You guys with me? So he chose this word, and this word, it's inspiration that it translates as from the Greek. And it's a Greek word, and theonostos, I don't expect you to remember that, but it's two words that come together that literally mean God breathed. God breathed. Pneuma carries, it's got a range of meanings, and it means life or force or the energy or dynamic power, the living energy on the inside of something. How many of you need some living energy on the inside today? By the look of you, many of you need some living energy on the inside of you today, right? And see, the Jews considered this word pneuma to be a powerful force, or a force that continues to sustain creation. I mean, we talked about when the Lord spoke, his word goes forward, and the sun's still coming up because God said, let there be light. God's word is a sustaining word. It has within it life and power. And that when we understand that word, that the Jews believe that this word, this inspiration, this pneuma, if you will, this breath that came forward is sustaining all life we see around us. Because God said. Amen? See, they took God said far more seriously than we do in our culture. We treat God like he's fickle and he changes his mind often. We treat God like he didn't mean what he said, like he's not a man of his word. Do we not? See, how often God says, I love you. Yeah, I don't believe it. God says, you're special to me. Well, I don't feel very special, so God, you must not be telling the truth. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think is the one fooling themselves? You or him? God says, I've forgiven you. And we say, I'm not worthy to be forgiven. And instantly what you do is set yourself up as a higher authority than God himself. You don't mean to do it, but that's what you do. See, when God speaks, it carries on it a sustaining force of life, and his word will continue to sustain what he's spoken and what he's created. In the Old Testament, the pneuma of God would sometimes move mightily upon a person, and it caused them to do supernatural things. I want you to think of somebody like Samson. Where Samson, you guys, how many of you know the story of Samson, right? Wave at me if you know the story of Samson. Samson, the long hair, remember? Delilah cut his hair, right? Boys, be careful of women with scissors. I'm just saying. He gave up his strength. But in that last moment, you guys remember, right? He called upon God. And the Lord breathed upon him. Inspiration came, and he was able to do one more mighty thing. Isn't that awesome? We see it all throughout Scripture, that God moves on people to do the miraculous. How many of you know our God is a miraculous God? Yes? See, when this word, pneuma, it comes together with the word theos, which in the Greek means God, right? It's where we get our word inspiration, meaning God breathed. It's the idea of God breathing or putting his own energy or breath into something. It's a little bit like a musician, a horn player. As they would blow into a horn, as they would, or into a saxophone, or whatever your favorite wind instrument might be, as they would breathe into it. How many of you know a sound emits from it as breath goes into it? Right? As the musician breathes in, there's a response and a sound and an energy and a force that comes through the other side. And it's a little bit creating a picture like that, that when God breathes on something, when God breathes his life into something, that there all of a sudden that there's a life that comes out of it, and there's a sound, there's an energy, there's something more that comes when God breathes. You guys okay? Oftentimes in praise and worship settings, When you begin to feel the power of the Holy Spirit, when you become aware of it, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's always there? It's the question is whether or not we're going to be aware of it. And when we become aware during worship, maybe Lana begins to sing and all of a sudden we become aware. How many of you know you sense yourself that in that moment you begin to sing just a little bit louder? Anybody? You began to feel something come from the inside of you. You began to become more enthusiastic. And the word enthusiasm literally means, in theo, the life of God on the inside of me. You begin to feel the life of God come up from the inside of you. And what does it cause you to do? It causes you to give a response. Does it not? It causes you to sing out, to praise, to all of a sudden you're now responding to this pneuma, this inspiration, this force, this life force that's coming into us. The Word of God is much connected like that. It is inspired. Somebody say inspired. God breathed and moved on those who wrote the Scriptures. He breathed life on them. They became his instruments where he began to express his heart and his will for us. Where they begin to respond to him. Scripture itself carries the very essence and DNA of who he is. It's not just words on a page. It's life. Amen? Guys, this is why, listen, and we're talking about habits that build strength. This is why it's so much more important for us to be able to understand that we have to set time to read Scripture, to digest Scripture, to allow the Word of God to breathe on us so that we can now respond with life. See, what I have found is the people that understand this are able to walk through life and live life at a different force than the rest of us. And I'm not talking about Star Wars here, guys, all right? What I mean by that is, have you ever met somebody who just knows the power of the Scripture? They live it. They apply it. They walk with it. And whenever something happens, because inevitably in this life, something always happens, they don't come undone. They don't complain. It's almost like they begin to walk with a new energy, a new force, a new strength. It's like as the tide gets stronger against them, they begin to run faster. Isn't that awesome? As the pressure begins to mount, they begin to become more forceful. Not because of anything more, then it's all of a sudden the inspiration of God is coming alive on the inside of them, and they're moving at a different pace. Clearly, I'm speaking spiritually here, guys, right? Because the truth of the matter is oftentimes, I guarantee you, the most forceful person in a room oftentimes is a grandmother who knows the Word and knows how to pray. If we could look in the Spirit, she'd be the biggest giant in the room. Because they understand the inspiration of God. You okay this morning? Yes. See, God projected the totality of His emotion, His heart, into the written Word when He inspired its writing. And so the Word not only conveys an intellectual idea that we have to grab, but it's God's heart is in it as well. See, when you read Scripture, you're not just reading for your mind, which you are, renewing of the mind, but you also have to read for the heart. You have to learn, what is God saying to me? What is He communicating to me? What's His heart in the Word? And we begin to feel and understand who He is at a deeper level. The same pneuma power that originally created and continues to sustain the universe is still working inside the passages of Scripture. Because God spoke this word as much as He spoke, "Let there be light." Come on. How many of you know we're real impressed with "Let there be light"? But we have a whole lot of Bibles collecting dusts on shelves. Yet God spoke every word in this book too. Come on. Not just the ones you like, by the way. He spoke them all. God Himself, his life, His force, His essence, His power, His energy is contained inside the Word. And He wants that energy to get on the inside of us. The life of God on the inside. You guys have heard me say it so many times. That is literally where the word enthusiasm comes from. In Theo, the life of God inside of me. And through reading His Word and understanding His Word and allowing the inspiration of His Word to come, all of a sudden, we begin to live more enthusiastically than we did before. Amen? See, the Bible that you own that might be in a desk drawer somewhere, it contains the life, the essence, the energy, and the dynamic power of God Himself. So if we'll begin to determine that we're going to tap into the Word, that we're going to discipline ourselves to read the Word and understand the Word, God Himself will begin to start pouring out of the pages of your Bible, and He'll begin to reveal Himself to you. There are so many people wondering what God wants them to do with their life. And the first question I want to ask is, are you reading your Scripture? Because I guarantee you, if you're reading His Word, you're going to catch His heart. And when you catch His heart, you're going to know what to do. You're going to know what to do. Too often we rely on prophetic words. Now, hear me, I'm all for prophetic words. But too often we rely on prophetic words when God has already spoken the word that you need. See, that was one of the issues when we were growing up, coming through, you know, charismatic circles, is that we saw everybody was jumping from experience to experience to experience to experience, yet there was no substance behind their understanding, and people were perishing for a lack of knowledge. They were getting great experiences, but they didn't know the word. Now, you have the other side of that, too, where everybody knows the word, but nobody experiences the power in the presence of God. And it just goes back, once again, what do we always say? Right? All spirit you blow up, all words you dry up, put them together, and we grow up. And that's what God desires, for us to walk in the balance of his presence, but also understanding his presence is contained in this word. This is important stuff. The pneuma inside this word will blow up powerfully upon you in the situations that surround you. And then all of a sudden, because the word of God is active and moving in your life, things will begin to change. You could almost say it like this. All scripture came into existence because God himself breathed upon men who wrote it as this divine breath moved upon them. And then the word took shape and came into existence. And here we are. So, but then also it says, put the first scripture up for me again. Liam, can you do that real quick? It says, scripture is given inspiration of God and is profitable. Somebody say profitable. How many of you guys like things that are profitable? Right? And right now we have Paul telling us, listen, guys, it might be profitable for you to understand that the word of God is inspired and it is profitable to your life. Yeah, how many of you want a profit, right? If you want a profit, that means in spiritually you have to understand that God's word is profitable. You have to engage yourselves in things that are profitable. Right? You can't waste time with things that don't have any profit. God is saying, I want you to profit from my word. I want you to move forward. So the word profitable, it actually means helpful or useful or beneficial or something that is to one's advantage. God is trying to give you an advantage through the word. God is trying to communicate an advantage to you through the word. He's trying to say, listen, I've given you every advantage to overcome the work of the enemy right here. I've given you every advantage to be profitable in life right here. If you do things my way, according to my word, and you understand that word and you allow it to be active and moving in your life, you will be better off for it. Come on. Things will be better. It's useful. It's probably the most useful thing you have is the understanding that the word is profitable. Paul goes on to list all the ways that God's word brings benefit to somebody who reads it and meditates on it and taps into this living force. So when Paul wrote to Timothy, all scriptures are inspired of God, he was reminding Timothy that because he had the word, he possessed the greatest source of power and energy that exists. I'm going to tell you guys something. How many of you ever just get weary in serving God and walking in your faith? To be honest, pastor's not going to judge. Amen? I get tired sometimes too. Pastor James gets tired. But whenever I find myself at that position where I'm feeling drained, or I'm feeling low of energy, or I'm feeling tired, believe it or not, it does happen. I have to go to the Word. I have to allow the Word to renew me, to revitalize me, to re-energize me again, because it's not just words on a page. It's the very heartbeat and life force and breath of inspiration of God. And as he begins to breathe on me in that time of study, in that time of worshiping with the word, and as he begins to pour out his love for me that I begin to sense through these pages, I begin to feel energized. All of a sudden, my perspective begins to shift. Things that were seemed like sinking ships, all of a sudden, we're realizing we're going to get across this thing. Things that looked hopeless, all of a sudden, begin to look full of life and full of possibility and full of hope. Things that look where it was a situation of complete and total despair, all of a sudden, we start looking around and saying, it's not so bad because my God's so good. Amen? Because you begin to shift in perspective and understanding that the word has power. And so what Paul was saying to Timothy, he's saying, listen, Timothy, if you would get into the word and allow the life of God in that word to flow out into your life, enough power would be released to change every difficult situation that you're facing. There's enough in there. See, the Bible is not just a book about God. It is a book that actually contains God. His thoughts, his heart, his emotion, his desire. It's not just facts about God. It's not an Encyclopedia Britannica. Kids, that was pre-internet, by the way. It contains his passion, his desire. How many of you know that's awesome? See, God didn't just give you facts about him. He gave you his heart. And he told us how much he loved us in the midst of it. He gave us his desire for our lives. It is his desire that we all know him. It is his desire that we all understand his heart toward us. It is his desire that this word should be profitable to us. It is his desire that we feel loved and accepted and as part of his family. It is his desire that we be healed and restored. And that's all expressed. And when we begin to understand that, we begin to view God on a new level. Amen? I think we can agree that this kind of power operating in our lives could be to our advantage. Amen? I'm actually going to close. Michelle, would you go ahead and come on up? You guys know the rule. I hear music, I start to wrap up. That's just kind of how it works. So I want to ask you guys a few questions this morning, because I believe what's going to happen is your answer is going to be found in the Word. And so I'm going to list off just a few things this morning. And if it's for you, I want you to grab hold of it. Grab hold of the Word. And I want you to see the truth today that this is important. So let me ask, does anybody need clarity for anything today? You don't raise your hand. This is all rhetorical. But if you need clarity today, how many of you know we live in a world where things are very unclear? And sometimes in life, things can be very confusing. It's hard to even know which direction to go because things are so unclear and so maybe dark, you don't even know what step to take. But Psalm 119, 105 says this. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What God is saying is in the darkness and the confusion, I want to illuminate the way. I want to illuminate your path. I want to take away the uncertainty of the next step. How many of you have ever tried to walk in the dark in a place you're unfamiliar with? Right? Inevitably, you will always find the corner of the chair with your pinky toe. Isn't that right? And you're afraid to look because you know it's not there anymore. You know the toe's gone, right? And you know the pain of the misstep. What if I could tell you, you never have to worry about the pain of a misstep again? Because his word lights the path. He gives my wife likes to say it this way. He gives you just enough light for the step you're on. And if he lights the way, the next step. But it's his word that illuminates the path. It's knowing his word that illuminates the path and shows us the way. Amen? How many of you need truth? How many of you know we live in a world filled with mistruths, with lies? And I tell you what, guys, we really need to pray for our young people, our teenagers. They live in a world of misinformation. They're often told they don't need God, God's not real, that they can rely on their own talents and abilities. I'm here to tell you guys, with God, nothing is impossible, but by yourself, good luck. But we live in a world that needs truth. And if you've ever felt like you're being lied to on every turn, Psalm 33:4 says this, For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. See, the word of the Lord is right. Listen, you don't need to know what I say. You need to know what God says. Because his word is truth. My opinion is not truth. You know, there's a lot of opinions out there. Most of them aren't very good. We don't need opinions. We need truth. And truth is contained in the word of God. How many people need life today? Doesn't it seem like we live in a world where there's not enough abundance of life? I mean, there's people existing, but how many people are really living? Living life the way that God intended it to be. There's people going through the motions, but how many people are awakened to the fact of that there is real life available? Amen? John 6, 63 says this, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Amen? Do you need joy? How many of you would agree that we could use some more joy in this world? Amen? See, joy is not just an emotion. We know this. It's not just a fleeting emotion. Joy is a sustained state of faith in God, understanding who he is. If you need joy today, Jeremiah 15, 16 says this, "Your words were found, and I ate them," like I devoured them. "And your word was to me joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." What Jeremiah is saying there is when I began to understand your word and I began to see your word, it says I ate them. What he's saying is I couldn't get enough of it. I devoured it. How many of you have ever had something, a food or something that you just, I tell you what, you know, that box of donuts shows up in the house. It's not safe. You know what I mean? The other night, we had a friend of ours bring us over some, like, these cinnamon rolls from some far-off bakery that they do some sort of magic wizardry when they make these things. I don't know what they are. They're probably made with unicorn tears. They're fantastic. In just one taste, and I was like, I'm just going to have a bite. Y'all know how that went, right? I just needed a bite. It's just one bite. That box did not make it because me and Simon are in the house. And Jeremiah is saying, when I tasted the sweetness of your word, I had to devour it. I couldn't get enough of it because it was for me a source of joy. And then he goes on. You guys know the famous passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. It says this. It says, "Your word was to me joy, the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, of God of hosts." Then later, what does he write? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future." How often do we quote that scripture? Amen? See, when you begin to devour the word, you begin to just eat on the word, all of a sudden there's a joy that comes up inside of you and you realize that this is what my soul needs. This is the nourishment my soul needs. This brings joy. This brings happiness. So much more than all the enchiladas and Casa Torres can. Because when I taste and see that God is good. Amen? If you need joy this morning, there's joy. If you need fulfillment today, Matthew 4:4. "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We have so many people walking around living completely unfulfilled. Not pursuing any purpose, not pursuing any plan, They get up every day and they ask themselves a question like this. Why does it all matter? Does it even matter? What am I doing this for? And it seems no matter how much they chase, they walk away feeling unfulfilled. No matter how much success they get, no matter how much money they acquire, no matter how many cars they get, no matter how much stuff they accumulate, they're still unhappy and unfulfilled. I can't imagine anything worse in the world than being rich and miserable. Besides being poor and miserable. But better to be poor and fulfilled in the Word of God than rich and miserable. Amen? Fulfillment doesn't happen because you can get the most stuff. Fulfillment happens because you choose not to live by the stuff, but instead you choose to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are not living today for the temporal things of this world. We were set here to be a part of the eternal things that God has spoken, that He has put in motion. We are part of Let There Be. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today as we close. Next week, we're going